The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. The number I want to focus on this morning is the number 37. It's an odd number. You might wonder why the number 37 is important to me this morning. 37 is the number of miracles, healings that Jesus performs in the New Testament. I have a very handy chart that I use occasionally for homily preparation. And it lines up across all four Gospels, all 37 healings that Jesus performs. Of those 37, four are explicit exorcisms. We encounter the idea of exorcisms in today's Gospel, the phrase, drive out demons or possessed by demons, three times in today's Gospel. And I want to spend a moment talking about this because it is, I fear, one of the most misunderstood dimensions of our lives as Catholics. And in fact, so often overlooked to our own detriment. We do not really grasp this idea of the world of the demons and Jesus' command and power over them, thanks be to God, of driving them out. So this is not a homily for the faint of heart, I'm warning you now. And if you haven't had a cup of coffee yet this morning, you won't need one. I work with three exorcists. I work with them every day. I don't work with them in their exorcist ministry per se, but let's just say when you hang around exorcists enough, you get a greater grasp of what is going on here. And so often in the popular culture, as we well know, that this world of the demons and the exorcist really is in the world of the horror film or the thriller film. It's almost to the point of the imaginary. Like all of this is mythical. It's not. We are so enamored with the visible world around us. But many people forget that there is an entirely different world around us, the world of the invisible, the unseen. We're more fixated on the seen and the visible, but the unseen is an entirely different world, yet closely related to the visible world in which we live. And we have a sense, of course, of goodness, this abstract idea. Well, trust me, with that is its complement, which is the world of the evil. Now, I'm not here to scare you, but I'm here to keep it real, because we're just 10 days away from the beginning of Lent. And remember, the first Sunday of Lent always deals with the temptations of Christ in the desert. For 40 days and 40 nights, he went mano a mano, toe to toe, with the evil one himself. Brothers and sisters, believe me, if this is the path the Lord chose for himself, it is also the path we must traverse. We have elements of it in our prayer. We'll say things at the end of Mass like the St. Michael prayer. We'll talk about the demons who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. But the reality is that for most of us, we can kind of revert back to this cartoon character idea. You know, the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. Even old cartoons have depicted this battle. And we tend to relegate this all to really just the mythical and the fictional. But again, I will tell you from my own work, this is incredibly real. And why is it important for us to know? Because we live in an age where we tend to take extremes. On one end, there are people who say that all of the temptations that they face are all demonic. There are others who say temptations don't even really exist. These are just psychological aberrations that can be fixed with enough therapy. The reality is the truth is usually somewhere in between. So on the demonic side of things, is the devil and his minions, are they real? You bet they are. And they are prowling about the world seeking the ruin of souls. On the other hand, are psychological neuroses real? Oh yes, for sure. But it's usually not one or the other. For instance, in the camp where everything is demonic, if I'm talking to someone who makes this claim, I'll just ask them a few questions about how they live their lives. And I'll say to them sometimes, actually quite often, more often than not, brother, what you're talking about isn't the demonic. The devil doesn't need your help. You're quite happy to give him what you need, what he needs in order to move you to sin. On the other hand, the completely psychological camp dismisses in large part the notion of sin, our own accountability for falling into temptation and giving into it. So the farther extreme is the idea that if one is experiencing temptations from the outside, they need an exorcism. These three exorcists that I work with literally get between them 300 to 400 calls a year of people seeking this help. Rarely is it actually needed. It's actually fairly rare for them. It's not like they do this like, you know, 5 nights a week. Trust me, it's not like that. But there are real cases where this happens. All that to say, ordinarily speaking, we already have at our disposal for our use and our sanctification all the means necessary to drive out demons far from us. I'll give you a few examples. On the lower end of the food chain, we have things like the scapular, holy water, sacramentals, making visits to the Blessed Sacrament, because trust me, the devil is not here. He can't stand to be here. On the farther end, but should be a regular practice of ours, is frequent and devout reception of the sacrament of penance, going to confession. The exorcist will tell you, to a man, that 95% of the problems people face with dealing with the demons that Jesus drives out mentioned in today's gospel can be resolved with a devout, heartfelt confession. And I know some of you here this morning are in our RCIA program, and you're gearing up for your first confession. Be not afraid. Although, if you are, I empathize. I used to do RCIA for U.S. Marines. I had a Marine once tell me, Father, I'd rather take on 4 members of the Taliban with a 9mm pistol than face you in the confessional. And I said, be not afraid, brother. He said, in the confessional, the truth is never a problem. He goes, Father, but I know what to do with a 9mm pistol. I said, I know you do. I'm well aware of your training. But we tend to think that, oh, I only need the confessional, really need the confessional, if I kill someone. That is not true. The reason why we can be so susceptible to the work of the evil one is because we don't sufficiently arm ourselves with the graces of the sacrament Jesus so freely and lovingly and mercifully wants to give us. And so we relegate the sacrament of penance to the Advent penance service or the Lenten penance service. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, I have never read the life of a saint, a biography of a saint who went to confession twice a year. They made frequent recourse to the sacrament of penance, not just simply because they had committed mortal sin, but because they wanted the graces of the sacrament to be fortified in the fight. And that leaves me with one final point this morning. What I'm talking about here is under the rubric of something very real. It's called spiritual combat. Spiritual combat. Many people don't like the word militant or combat, but it's traditionally been used in the church because it aptly describes the real struggle that we all have to deal with as disciples, striving to be more authentic and more real, to actually confront those forces around us which are trying to see our demise. They do not take a day off. They do not have vacations. They are constantly aware of our weaknesses and our dispositions. But here's the last point of good news. One, we can never sin without giving consent. No consent, no sin. A sin requires an act of the will. And the greatest news of all, which I will end this morning, is that the Lord has already conquered this battle. The question is not whether or not we can win. We can. Merely if we participate in the victory which he gained for us, which is already ours. So let us be careful not to pass by the words in today's 10 short verses of possessed by demons and driving out demons, as if this is just some relic of the past. What happened back then still happens today. But thanks be to God for our Lord Jesus Christ, who saves us, who has redeemed us, and by his precious blood has conquered the world and the devil. Let us pray today to be humble participants in the merits of our Lord's passion, death, and resurrection, so that when we confront the workings of the devil in our life, we will be steeled in this spiritual combat and take great solace that the victory in Christ is already ours. May Jesus Christ be praised, both now and forever.